The next day, Eliger rang again. Two more joined the Edharians, two the new circle, and again the reformed old Fanians came up with nothing. One of the names called out for the new circle was Leo. I was astonished by this, and wondered for a time if I had heard it right. It's difficult to say why, because it made perfect sense. Leo was an obvious candidate for Warden Fendant. His fight with the Slines on Teth Night must have impressed Fra Degelos to no end. Working for the Warden Fendant meant being a hierarch, and for some reason that was associated with being in the new circle. So why did it surprise me? Because, as I figured out, lying awake on my pallet that night, Leo and I had been on the same Provenor team for so long that I'd grown used to his being there, and had assumed that he and I and Jezri and Archibald would always be together in the same group. And I had believed that they shared these feelings and assumptions. But feelings can change, and I was beginning to see that they had been changing rapidly while I'd been up in this cell. 2 days later, Archibald joined the reformed old Fanians. It was just dumb luck that no one down below heard me yelling, "What?" I could lay awake all night long if I pleased, and no upsight would be forthcoming to explain this. The reformed old Fanians had been a dying order for almost as long as they'd been in existence. The only thing for it was to get out of this cell. I gave up on daily exercise and stopped writing the journal and did nothing but study Chapter 5 after that. By the time I gave word that I was ready to be examined, 11 had joined the Edharians, 9 the New Circle, and 6 the reformed old Fanians. My options, assuming I still had any, were narrowing by the hour. In my gloomier moments, I wondered if throwing the book at me had been a sort of recruiting tactic on the part of Sura Trustinus, a way of forcing me to join some non-Edharian order and thereby pushing me down the path that would lead to my toiling in the primate's compound as a lesser hierarch, always under someone's thumb. Ordinary Fras and Surers answered to no one except the discipline. But hierarchs were in a chain of command. It was the price they paid for the powers they wielded. My examination took place the next day, following an eliger in which one more went to the new circle and 3 to the reformed old Fanians. Of those, 2 are what Archibald had had in mind when he had spoken of floor sweepings. 1 was unusually bright. Of my crop, only I and 1 other now remained. Since I hadn't been writing names down, I probably would have lost track by this point of who the other one was, if not for the fact that it was Tullia. The examiners numbered 3. Sura Trustinus was not among them. At first I was relieved by this, then irritated. I had just sacrificed a month of my life doing this penance and thrown away any chance I'd ever had of getting into the Order of Saint Edhar. The least she could have done was show up. They began by asking me some trick questions about Chapter 2, in the hopes that I'd have rushed through it on the first day and then forgotten it. But I had anticipated this, and had spent a couple of hours reviewing the first 3 chapters the day before. When I recited the 127th through 283rd digits of Pi, the fight went out of them. We only spent 2 hours on Chapter 5. This was exceptionally lenient. But Eliger had pushed everything back to late in the day. We were nearing the solstice, so it got dark early, which made it seem even later. I could actually hear the examiner's stomachs growling. The head of the panel was Fras Pelican, a hierarch in his 7th decade who had been passed over for Warden Regulant in favor of Sura Trustinus. At the last minute, he seemed to decide I hadn't been grilled hard enough and began putting up a fight. But I snapped out an answer to his first question, and the other 2 examiners said with their postures and their tones of voice that it was over. Spelican snatched up his spectacles, held them in front of his face, and read something from an old leaf that said my penance was over, and I was free to go. Though it felt later, a whole hour remained before dinner. I asked if I could go back to my cell to collect some notes I had left there. Spelican wrote out a pass giving me permission to remain in the regulant court until the dinner hour. I thanked them, took my leave, and walked around to my cell, waving my pass at any hierarchs who crossed my path. By the time I had reached my cell and pulled my journal out from beneath my pallet, an idea which had not even existed 30 seconds earlier as I had bid goodbye to the examiners, had flourished inside my head and taken control of my brain. Why not sneak up to the Starhenge right now and collect that tablet? Of course, my better sense prevailed. I wrapped my journal up in the free end of my bolt and walked out of that cell. Forever, I hoped. 50 paces down the walkway took me to the southwest corner, the head of the Tenor's Stair. A few Fraws and Soors were passing up and down, getting ready for a change of guard at the Fenton Court. I stood aside to make way for one who was on his way up. He was hooded and not looking where he was going. Then my feet came into his view. He pulled his hood back to reveal a freshly shaved head. It was Leo! There was so much to say that neither of us knew where to begin, so we just stared at each other and made incoherent sounds for a few moments, which was probably just as well since I didn't want to say anything in the regulant court. I'll walk with you, I said, and turned to fall in step alongside him.
You have to talk to Tullia, he muttered,
as we were ascending to the Fendant Court.
You have to talk to Orlo. You have to talk to everyone.
Going to your new job?
Degelos has me doing an internship.
Hey, Roz, where the heck are you going?
The Starhenge.
With us?
He grabbed my arm.
Hey, idiot, you could be thrown back.
It's more important that I do this than that I not be thrown back, I said. Which was pretty stupid, but I was feeling rebellious and not thinking very hard. I'll explain it to you later.